Refuge Church Bookstore. Get yours today. Workshop Productions LLC is a proud sponsor of KAYT FM 88.1 Alexandria, 92.5 FM Shreveport, and 98.9 Monroe. See you there.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministries Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
It is because he rose that we are here today giving God the glory, the praise, and the honor. Hallelujah. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege now of hearing your word. Speak to our hearts, challenge us, meet us where we are, lift us to the place you'd have us to be. We thank you for the preaching, teaching, ministry of the Holy Spirit, to do as only he can. God, we thank you today that you are God all by yourself and you can do whatever you choose to do. But when we let you in our lives and allow you in our lives, you are magnified in our lives, and thus we can do all things through Christ which strengthens us. We thank you in advance for what you shall say and for what you shall show. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Give God some praise, if you will, in his house. Get your Bibles today. As we are celebrating the Lord's Supper and reminded of the purpose of this day in so many ways, we don't always understand and recognize how God wants to use us as vessels and vehicles in this earth realm to bring victory to the kingdom of God. And so that means sometimes you've got to do your part in a way that frees God's hands to do what he desires to do in the earth realm. And so this word today found in 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. I want to commence reading at verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. He says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in God's presence. When we look at this word, as Paul writes this letter to Timothy and he encourages him to learn and to share the power of prayer and supplication, intercession, and giving of thanks for all men. That means without respect to a certain group or a special ethnicity or some person or power that you are personally or intimately connected with, but to all who are due the praise, all who are due the respect, all who are in authority. Now, one of the things that I want you to realize is that God needs your prayer in the earth realm to save, to help, to move, to operate, because this world has been given the power and the authority to Satan to reign in this world for a season. God does not violate his word. Now, man who messed up when he disobeyed God back in the beginning in the garden gave Satan the ability to touch him and thus transferring this power over him in the earth realm. Well, in the third chapter of Genesis, you see God made provisions for man by way of the seed, which was, of course, his son who would come and give man the opportunity to be back in a right relationship with God via the salvation Jesus offers. Through Jesus, he alone is the only one who could pay this awesome price, make this sacrifice that was worthy of God accepting man back in a right relationship with him. And so all who accept Jesus Christ are now the sons of God, and God has the ability to deal directly with them even though they are in the earth realm and God is in the heavenlies. They are restored into a right relationship. Well, hear this now. Because Satan messed with Jesus, whom he had no privilege nor power over because he had not sinned, but he became sin so he could pay the price for all mankind, it then opened up a door that through Jesus, whoever would accept him would have access to the Father, and through their prayers, through their supplications, through their interceding, God could do on their behalf what he could not do before until man had found himself back in a right standing with God. Having said that, when you know you are born again, and when you know you're a child of God, and when you know that there are things your heavenly Father can do in the earth realm according to his word through you, a willing participant, the devil in hell can't do nothing about it. That's why it's important, and Paul teaches Timothy, look at what he says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. If there are persons who are worthy of praise or thanksgiving, you give them their due. Give them their due. That it takes nothing off of you to give somebody their due. To say to someone, you've done this, you've accomplished this, good job, congratulations, well done. Takes nothing from you. Also, you've got to recognize that there are some reasons why you're having issues on your job and dealing with certain folk, and it may very well be because you don't pray for them. Look at what this word says in verse 2. It says, for kings, starts off in the earth realm at the highest level. So that would be kings and presidents, etc., all on that level. But then notice what it says, and conjunction, for all that are in authority. So that means anybody who is over you in any position, the Lord is saying you need to pray for them. Because see, what you don't realize is maybe some of the reasons why they act like they act is because nobody's praying for them. And see, God can't step in and really touch and do for them because nobody's interceding for them. And see, God can change and rearrange the hearts and the minds and the thoughts of people and the actions, attitudes, and ambitions of folk if you learn how to go in prayer for them. See, but we learn to talk about folk. And not talk to them, but talk about them. We like to tear them down and say this and say that and say the other. And it's clear many times that, yeah, they may be out of order, but you're out of order because you don't go in prayer for them. Now, this is important because it makes your life better as it makes their life better. And I promise you, if you've got a boss who's all right with the Lord, they'll be all right with you. A leader, a supervisor, etc., etc., etc. He says you need to pray for them. Now listen to this. Verse 3 says this, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. Now this is the power, the potentate. And this is what I want you to see in this verse. Who is saying that it's all right to say to those who are in authority and those who are kings and presidents and are of any state of monarchy, who are worthy of, again, our prayers, our supplication, our thanksgiving, etc. It's all right to give them their due. Tell your neighbor it's all right to give them their due. You see, because what's important is when you learn how to give others theirs, God works it out where others give you yours. You learn how to sow seeds of goodness, sow seeds of thanksgiving, sow seeds of praise. Those kinds of things come back to your life. And so it also makes your life better, especially under the authority of those who are in rule. But here's something I want you to see, because I think that in order for the believer to recognize the practicality of the world, the word, and to realize that because you are in the world, God expects you to act a certain way and represent him in a certain way, and realize that there is a reason why he has sent you in the places you're in, and while you are in the jobs that you are in, you may not be there for a lifetime. You may only be there for a season, but while you're there for that season, God has a reason for you being there. And it's not for you to complain and be cynical and disillusioned and cranky and hard to get along with and talking about the pay and talking about the people and talking about the product and talking about all that stuff. It's a purpose that God wants you to recognize. Now listen, if it's all right with God, our Savior, who is the premium power, the premium potentate, then it's all right altogether. I want you to see something else here. Verse 4 says something else, because what it does is, in verse 4, is reveal the purpose. Who will have? Who will have? First of all, it's talking about God our Savior. Verse 4 says, who will have all men to be saved? Now that's the purpose for you in verse 1, for your supplications, for your prayers, for your intercession, for your giving of thanks. Because what, listen to this, he wants you to do is be in a place where you can call him up on their behalf, and that through that, he can work salvation into their lives and deliverance into your situation. There are some things God wants you to do for him to bring the salvation through. You become the conduit. You become the line. You become the channel through which he's able to flow salvation in. Some people may never come to church, may never read a Bible, may never listen to religious music, may not do anything, but you're in that place representing God. And it's through what God shows through you that will open up the eyes and the minds many times as they watch you, as they listen to you, as they observe you in ways and matters both of word and world. Amen. See, we're saved to be able to impact the world. That's why the Lord didn't save us and take us out the world. He saved us and sent us right back where we were, so that where we were could be affected by who we are and what we are. And so maybe when you go to work tomorrow, you'll see your boss a different way. Your supervisor a different way. Those persons who are in authority over you a different way. Maybe they are dealing with some stuff you don't know about. You have no knowledge of. Maybe you just ought to say, Lord, have mercy on my boss. Lord, maybe have mercy on my supervisor. God, have mercy on my coworkers. Lord, I deal with this issue, this situation. Touch them, God. You don't know what the issue is, but listen at this. You have the power through supplication, through intercession, through prayer, through giving of thanks to make the situation different. Different. And if it's different, you might not mind going there. If it's different, you may be more productive. If it's different, you may get a promotion. If it's different, things will be different. Some of you praying for a breakthrough, and some of you praying for another job, and some of you praying for promotion. You ought to be praying for these people. See, your prayers are more selfish and more inward and more onward. God says it needs to extend to the ones who have the ability to make a difference. And so listen, for whatever time and season God's got you where you are there for a purpose. And just so that you got what I said, tell your neighbor, I am where I am for a purpose. All right, praise the Lord. I think you're getting some of this. All right, let's look at this. I want you to see something else. Now, because you're there for a purpose, I want you to see the position here that follows in verse 5. For there is one God. Well, let me put it in perspective. There is only one true God. There are a whole lot of fake and phony gods, but there's only one true God. And listen at this. And not only is there only one God, but there's only one mediator between God and men. One mediator. In other words, there's only one person that God knows that can stand between earth and glory, that can stand between men and God, that can stand between right and wrong, that can stand between up and down, and that man is Christ Jesus. He's the only mediator that God has given the power and the position to do bidding on both man's behalf and God's behalf. Why? Because when Jesus left glory, came down to planet Earth, assumed the body of flesh, took on all of those things that men in this world deal with, was tempted in all points like as we, but without sin, he became the perfect representation of mankind and of Godkind in one flesh. He was both God and man in one flesh. So because he was both God and fully man, and he had the ability to know and experience both as none other has ever been able to do, he was the only one who had a right to go before God and tell man what God said and God what man said. So he's the only mediator who could identify with man and who could identify with God and who brought both of them together. So know this and understand this and see that it is why Jesus Christ, who has joined you to the Father, now expects you to do your part in helping that all men might become saved. That's the purpose of God working in your life, dealing with you so that you can deal with others so that they may become saved. I promise you, if they ever become saved, there will be differences felt not only in the soul and in the life, but it will walk its way through every area of life for them. And that's why it's so important. You may not realize this, but that's why the enemy don't want you to pray for everybody. That's why the enemy doesn't want you to pray for those in position. That's why the enemy wants you to be hateful and hating. He wants you to be jealous and envious. Because if you pray for them, you can't be those things. If you pray for God to touch their hearts, their lives, straighten them out, bless them, minister to them, etc., 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 you could not hate folk like that. That's why we're to love those as God loved us when we were unlovable. I know you look good today and you look saved today and you look like you got it together today, but that was a time you ain't looked like this.
Amen, amen, amen.
And God sent his son to get you at your worst to bring you to your best. And that's the kind of spirit we've got to have as relates to others that God has given us this word to. Listen, this is a sober word. You might not shout much about this word today, but I promise you when you see the effect of this word working in your life, you'll shout later when you look at your check. You'll shout later when God gives you favor. You'll shout later when you see how God's turned your situation around. Listen at this again. Verse 5 says, "For there is one God," talking about the position of Jesus now, "and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." Don't get it twisted. Nobody could do what Jesus did. That's why God sent Jesus alone. Alone. The only one. And so that's the only one who mediated on our behalf, who did the mediation on our behalf, and who does even yet intercede on our behalf. Even in heaven right now, according to Hebrews 7 and 25. But look at verse 6. Because you also see that not only was his position there to be the mediator, but he also provided the provisions there. For verse 6 says, "Who gave himself a ransom for some of us." What does your Bible say for? So that means if he gave himself a ransom for all, then why do we think we can be picky and choosy about who we pray for, stand in the gap for, intercede for, and say good things about? You don't have to like the person to like what they've accomplished, but you got to love them anyhow. Did you hear what I just said? And listen to this. When you recognize this and you come to that realization and that understanding, and you begin to say, "Well, wait a minute, God, lay, this person has accomplished this, that, and the other." Now I know you know it and you thought it should have been you and it could have been you, but it wasn't you at this point. God used who was available and who he chose to use. And so God gets the glory out of that, especially if you understand he's in control of that. So many of us can learn so much from the folk we hate on. But we're too prideful and bigoted to get close to say, "How you did that? What's the secret? Show that to me. Share that with me." No, we're too hateful to do that. We go waste a whole lot of valuable time trying to reinvent the wheel when we could have bypassed that product or process and gotten a better product by simply making what they gave you better. And yet we miss the blessings of God because we don't know how to operate and recognize how God has given to us the opportunity through the provisions he gave to Jesus to be the payment for all men. Look again at what it says. It says, "Who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." Here's what you need to know. Just because you're saved now and they're not, keep on praying. You've got a testimony right now, but keep on praying for them. They'll have a testimony later. Don't give up on anybody whom God has not given up on. And since you don't know who God has given up on, that means you pray for everybody. You pray for all people in all situations, in all circumstances, in all opportunities, because God wants you to know the power of your prayer to be able to intercede on somebody's behalf may be the very thing that gives them a breakthrough. May be the very thing that God uses to take them out of the place that they're in, darkness, and into his marvelous light. May be the very thing that lifts them up from their place of doldrums and their place of dominion over you in a dark sense and bring them to a place of light and blessings, not only for themselves, but for you. Because let me tell you one thing about blessed folk. Blessed folk don't mind being a blessing. I wish I had some blessed folk in the house. I said, blessed folk don't mind being a blessing, because when they are a blessing, they know that only multiplies the blessings in return coming back to them. That's how the blessed folks stay blessed and increase their blessings, not by hoarding and stacking and storing and hiding, but being the blessing God wants them to be when he speaks to their situation. You can't help everybody, but you can sure help somebody. And it will be clear and always without contradiction whom the Lord speaks to your heart to bless, who God chooses to call you to be a blessing to, and he will give you the provisions to be that blessing for. Listen, that this is a closest message, because I know you don't like this message too much, because it's about you doing your part. It's about you praying for folk you don't really want to pray for, interceding for folk you really don't want to intercede for, and telling folk they did a good job when they did, but you don't want to be the one to tell. I know this ain't nothing you won't shout about right now, but that's all right. Listen at this. It's so that God can save everybody. Now, everybody may not choose to be saved, but it is God's desire to save everybody. I don't care who they are, what they are, where they've been, what they've done. God has chosen to save them. Whether they accept that salvation is a whole nother story. But that ain't your issue, and that ain't my issue. We who are saved ought to tell everybody about a Savior who's willing to save anybody if they will be saved. And once they're saved, God can tweak them and change them, rearrange them, and bring them to another place. One preacher said, and this is how we are, we want folk to be changed before they get saved. One preacher said, you can't clean fish till you catch fish. Amen. You want the fish to come out of the water already filleted.
Tell it.
Yes, it did. Yeah, no, it don't work like that. You've got a part to play. And when you see how when you minister to folk, and let me just say this to you, because when God puts you in a position and a place to minister to folk, to pray for folk, to stand in the gap for them, and to seek God for them, don't get caught up in the flesh. Don't get caught up in the flesh. Don't look at their sins and rate their sins and chronicle and categorize their sins. Don't get into all of that. Show them Jesus. Show them Jesus. You are the light that God put in that dark place for them to see the Jesus in you. When you invite them to church, you invite them to come see Jesus. Well, I ain't got nothing to wear. Well, listen. All you do want in what they do have to wear is appropriate. That's all. That's all. They ain't got to be dressed up and dressed down and dressed out. You know, they ain't going to a fashion show.
Amen.
Let me say that again. They ain't going to a fashion show. There may be some fashion folk that show up, but that ain't what they're going to. And that's why in church you might have a person dressed up in one seat and another one dressed down in another seat, and God ain't paying no attention to either one of what they have on. And so if you invite somebody, don't be worried about what they got on. Because listen, if that is an issue, then God has touched your heart to do something about the situation. Listen, just some clean clothes. I mean, it ain't got to be dressed up. But if he touches your heart about that area, it means that's the area he wants you to minister to them in. And if you don't have the appropriate size for them, I mean, maybe you got enough money in your pocket to go and be a blessing to them.
In other words, you take away that excuse to bring them so that they might hear a word that will bring them to a place of salvation. And I got news for you. If you could help them to become saved, which is the purpose for which God had you praying, interceding, and doing your part for, then God is going to bless you and reward you as well as that person. And I got to tell you, when you learn how to be a witness for the Lord and folks see the light and the love in your heart and it's